days, it's a new day. Hear his word, let us pray. The sunrise morning shone, and a way to start your day.
It is Wednesday, the 25th of March, the Feast of the Annunciation, and our Holy Father, Pope Francis, has called all of us around the world to pray the Our Father together this morning as a church and as a human family. Let's pray together in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Saint Bernadette of Lourdes, pray for us. Saint Blaise, pray for us. Saints Cosmas and Damian, pray for us. Saint Luke, pray for us. Saint Giuseppe Moscato, pray for us. Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, pray for us. Saint Therese of Lisieux, pray for us. Had to add that list of people who are either physicians or suffered from lung ailments or are invoked as patrons of the throat and lungs. It is the Sunrise Morning Show, and we are here to pray you through this. I know a lot of people still stuck at home and will be for weeks now, but keep it tuned to EWTN. The Sunrise Morning Show is here to wake you up and give you the news you need, but also help set you off on the right foot with all the insanity going on around. I'm Matt Swaim. Anna Mitchell has news. Paul Lockman's at the controls. And up this hour, we'll chat with Mark Doust from CatholicSingles.com. And they're actually making everything free for the next several days. And Mark will tell us how, if you are a single Catholic, or if you know a single Catholic, that can be enacted. Sarah Christmeyer continues our series on Women of the Word. Today we're talking about Ruth, who has a book in the Bible named after her. Gary Zimek will talk about keeping our peace in the midst of chaos on our series about giving up worry for Lent. And in addition to today being the Feast of the Annunciation, it's also the Feast of St. Dismas, the Good Thief. So we'll talk more about him with Steve Ray at the end of the hour. Right now, though, it's 2 minutes past. Here's Anna Mitchell with news.
Good morning. A deal has been reached between the Senate and Trump administration on a $2 trillion coronavirus economic stimulus package. The White House announced the deal at about 1 a.m. this morning, Washington time. The agreement comes after 5 days of negotiations and will provide relief for businesses, laid off workers, and families. It's estimated that more than half the people in the United States are under some form of shelter in place and non-essential business closure orders from state and local governments. Ford Motor Company is set to partner with GE and 3M on making face shields, ventilators, and air-purifying respirators to fight the coronavirus pandemic. Mark Mayfield has more.
Executive Chairman Bill Ford Jr. says engineers have found a seat cooling blower that's used in the Ford F-150 truck can also be used in a filtration system. Ford and 3M have a goal of churning out as many as 10 times more respirators than are currently being manufactured to meet the need of the healthcare industry. The automaker is looking into changing over an assembly plant for production of the medical device and has the full cooperation of the United Auto Workers Union to do so. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
Vice President Mike Pence says White House coronavirus task force is now focusing on New York City. In a White House briefing yesterday, Pence said people in New York City metro area should avoid non-essential travel, and anybody there who has traveled somewhere else should self-isolate for 14 days. Vice President said they need to deal with New York City because it is a high-risk area, and noted that New York represents more than half of the new cases in the United States. An Italian priest who gave up his ventilator for a younger patient has died of coronavirus. 72-year-old Don Giuseppe Berardelli was the archpriest of Cassino, in a town in northern Italy, about 50 miles northeast of Milan. A healthcare worker at the hospital told an Italian online news outlet that the priest refused a ventilator so someone younger could use it. Healthcare professionals in the region have struggled with limited resources to treat the mass influx of patients battling COVID-19. In Italy, there have been more than 63,000 known cases, leading to more than 6,000 known deaths. Pope Francis dedicated his Mass yesterday for those who have given their lives in service to coronavirus patients. Vatican News reports the Holy Father expressed his admiration for them. He said, quote, "I received the news that in these days a number of doctors and priests have died. I don't know if there were a few nurses. They were infected because they were serving the sick." He said, "Let's pray for them, for their families. I thank God for the example of heroism they give us in caring for the sick," end quote. The Holy See has published the Pope's message for this year's World Day of Prayer for Vocations, which will take place on May 3rd. From Vatican Radio, Francesca Merlo reports.
Pope Francis begins his message by recalling a letter he wrote last year in which he chose four key words, pain, gratitude, encouragement, and praise, as a way of thanking priests and supporting their ministry. Today, he says these words can be addressed to the whole people of God alongside a passage from Matthew's Gospel that recounts a remarkable experience of Jesus and Peter during a stormy night on the Sea of Galilee. Something similar happens to those who have been called to become the Lord's disciples, says the Pope, and the Gospel reminds us that in the midst of this challenging journey, we are not alone. The word gratitude, begins Pope Francis, is the first word of vocation. How we find fulfillment in life is more than a decision we make as isolated individuals, he says. Every vocation is born from the love of the Lord, and we will succeed in discovering and embracing our vocation when we open our hearts in gratitude to the passage of God in our lives. The second word the Pope discusses is encouragement. Jesus reassures the disciples when they mistake him for a ghost, saying, "Take heart, it is I, have no fear." When we are called to leave safe shores and embrace a state of life, our first reaction is often from the ghost of disbelief. Is this really my call? The Lord knows that these fundamental life choices call for courage. We know in faith that he is present and comes to meet us. This knowledge, he adds, sets us free from the interior discouragement that holds us back from experiencing the beauty of our vocation. The third word is fatigue. The Lord's call places our lives at the service of the gospel, yet like Saint Peter, our desire and enthusiasm coexist with our failings and fears. Jesus is at our side, and if we acknowledge him as the one Lord of our lives, he will stretch out his hand, take hold of us, and save us. The Pope concludes by asking the Church to continue to promote vocations. May she touch the hearts of the faithful and enable each of them to discover with gratitude God's call in their lives. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And YouTube will reduce users' video quality worldwide amid the unprecedented amount of people staying home and surfing the web during the coronavirus pandemic. While seeking to ease the ongoing strain on the internet, the platform will implement the change for the next 30 days by defaulting to standard definition. Although users have the option to upgrade to a higher resolution, YouTube says it's doing its best to, quote, minimize stress on the system. Matt, I say read a book.
You know, generally speaking, when the news cycle is going out of control, stay tuned for a couple of important things. Check in once or twice a day. And the rest of the time, read books that were written during different eras of civilization so that you're not stuck in your own mindset of your own age. Because you know how easy it is to get whipped into a frenzy and forget, you know, kind of this balanced view of the world.
Yeah. Well, and I think just in general, I think too much time on the internet just makes somebody even more stir crazy. They think they're, you know, I know that this has happened to me. You think that you're distracting yourself, or you think you're you know, using your time well or whatever. But in the end, I think it makes people more anxious to be staring at a screen for so long.
That makes me anxious.
Yeah. I mean, just in general, you know.
Well, just some thoughts this morning. We're here to get you started. Of course, the Holy Father is leading prayer around the world and asking everyone to pray the Our Father today. And of course, we prayed it at the top of this hour. And depending on when you're hearing the Sunrise Morning Show, that was the same time as the Holy Father. But if you're hearing us at 6 a.m. Eastern right now, then it'll be about 50 minutes till he prays the Our Father worldwide. But we're just going to pray the Our Father at the top of the hour every hour on our particular show.
Fantastic.
And I don't think it's a terrible idea to pray the Our Father every hour of the day, just in case your time zone math is off.
Well, ever since I saw the little poster from the Diocese of Dallas that kind of went viral, I've been praying the Our Father every time I wash my hands.
All right. So that's once every
thing.
Other day for me.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. That's like 20 times a day for me.
Matt, don't make such admissions.
It's 9 minutes past the hour. Mark Dowse joins us now from CatholicSingles.com. And they're, like everybody else, adjusting things due to the current situation caused by COVID-19. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
So you have expanded your reach a little bit with the COVID-19 situation. Tell us a little bit about the deal that you've got going on right now through March 31st.
Well, sure. So, you know, I prayed about this quite a bit last week. And with everyone being forced indoors or being asked to stay away from each other, it seemed like we needed to do something to help people connect, especially singles. And so we made the decision to drop all of our paywalls and to basically make everything completely free through the end of the month, at least. Might extend it, or we might do something else at the end of the month. But this is just a small way, and, you know, God put this on my heart early last week, and I'll be honest, kind of heart of heart at first, I prayed about and thought, nah, I'm not going to do this. This is, you know, obviously we have bills to pay and everything else, but God is persistent and just made the decision, drop all paywalls. So right now, Catholic Singles is 100% free, and really what our hope and goal with this is that people can connect maybe in a way that they haven't before, try something that maybe they haven't before, especially if you're out of work or if you're on leave or if you're just sitting at home and kind of wondering what should you do. It's just a small way that hopefully we can help out with this.
Right, exactly. And of course, this is not going to be, you're not going to be setting up many IRL dates this way, at least for the next few weeks, obviously. But I just wanted to clarify the point. This is not a free trial, though, right?
Right. No, this is, I want to be very clear with this. And we're trying to get the word out as much as we can, because it works better if there's a lot of people doing it, right? I want people to meet each other. That's the goal. It's not a free trial. We're not asking for credit cards. We're not asking for a trial basis. This is just open. We've opened up the doors completely. So it's all the way through the end of March. And again, that's about 10 days away now. And then after that, we're going to make a judgment call based on how things are going in the economy and then also what our situation looks like as well, Catholic Singles. But it's not a trial. There's no credit card needed, no strings attached, just open. And we actually did the same thing for our paying members because it didn't seem fair for them. So if you're a paying member of Catholic Singles, we've automatically moved your billing date back the same amount of time just to be able to credit you for that time. Because at this time right now, it seems just like the right thing to do. I played around with an idea of doing a coupon, but it felt like we were trying to trade on it, and that's not the goal, right? I'm not trying we're not trying to make money on this. We're not trying to trade on disaster. It's really just open it up, allow people to connect, maybe meet somebody. I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if we look back and people can look at this time not with, you know, boy, that was a dark time, but look back and say, I met my spouse during this time.
That'd be something to tell your grandkids.
Really cool.
Well,
yeah,
Grandma,
exactly.
How did you and Grandpa meet? Well, there was a pandemic. We got this free membership. That would be very interesting if that happens. That being said, Mark, I know how I'm spending this quarantine era with my wife and, you know, family. And there are a lot of people listening who have families and spouses or parents. They're doing this all together as a family. If you're Catholic single and you're isolated, that's got to be tough.
Absolutely. I mean, this is one of the main reasons that this really fell in my heart. I was thinking about the people that are home alone. And normally you have social situations that you can go to. You can go to your church. You can volunteer in these places. But everything's canceled, so you can't do that. You know, and like you, I have a family. And so I get to go home to my family. And sure, we're going to be driving each other insane here pretty soon. But it's also beautiful. This is, you know, for a single, Catholic single, this is a particularly difficult time. And so for those listening that are not single, I would encourage you to please keep singles in your prayers. Because for many of them, the social isolation is rather acute. It's not the same as it is for the rest of us. I think this demographic, this group of people, Catholic singles, they're more hurt by this than other groups.
Yeah, it's a very good reminder to think of what every different kind of person and every different kind of state of life in the church is going through. And thank you for highlighting that for us, Mark Doust from CatholicSingles.com. If we want to find out more, I just went to CatholicSingles.com and all the stuff is just right there on the front. All you got to do is just go to CatholicSingles.com. I guess it's pretty easy.
It's the exact same process that we would normally have. I just literally told our developers, take down all the paywalls, take down all of this. We still do have the ability for some people to upgrade, and there have some people that have voluntarily taken on subscription, which we really appreciate. And we have staff, we have bills, and these things do come up. But none of that's required. Normally when you would go through our sign-up process, you would go through this onboarding screen that helps you build your profile in about 3 minutes or less. So super easy to build a profile. But at the end, we would ask, do you want to subscribe right now or continue on with a free trial? Well, that screen is down. If you go in, you'll just immediately get into the site after you do the onboarding. You can immediately message people. You can respond to messages. We have these interactive polls. Some of them were for premium members. We've opened that up completely. Anybody can do those, and that's a great way that we have for people to meet each other in different ways. So you won't find any of the paywalls where you click a button and all of a sudden it says, hey, you need to upgrade to do that. That's gone completely. Now, April 1st, maybe they'll go back up, or maybe we'll offer a discount, or maybe we'll extend it. I really don't know yet. I'm praying about that as well, trying to trust God through all of this, just as we all are, right? And what's the right thing to do in this time? How can we trust God? Because I think ultimately that's what he wants us to do right now, right? He wants us to put our trust in him and understand that that's our rock and our salvation.
Well, thanks so much, Mark Doust from CatholicSingles.com, linked at SunriseMorningShow.com. Up next, it is the Feast of the Annunciation. We're going to talk connections between the Lord of the Rings and the Feast of the Annunciation, if I can say it right after this.
Support for the Sunrise Morning Show is from J.J. White Incorporated, the single-source multi-trade contractor for your next construction project. Since 1920, J.J. White has been constructing with knowledge, integrity, and safety. From industrial to commercial projects, J.J. White does it all. With offices in Philadelphia, Boston, Whiting, Indiana, St. Paul and Rochester, Minnesota, and Newcastle, Delaware. For excellent construction service and quality, count on J.J. White Incorporated. 215-722-1000 and online at jjwhiteinc.com.
I'm Matt Swaim, grateful that Visiting Angels underwrites the Sunrise Morning Show. People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide to continue living at home rather than a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework, and services are provided up to 24 hours per day with caregiver selection before service begins. Visiting Angels, online at visitingangels.com. That's visitingangels.com.
Central Fabricators is proud to support the Sunrise Morning Show and encourages other Catholic business owners to do the same. Central Fabricators knows that the Sunrise Morning Show is where you'll get the news from the Catholic perspective while keeping you up to date on what's happening in the Vatican as well. It's also a great way to keep in touch with the Catholic faith throughout the week. Central Fabricators, based in Cincinnati, Ohio, has been in business for more than 70 years. On the web at centralfabricators.com. That's centralfabricators.com.
St. Augustine gives us tremendous insight as to why we should pray. He says this, "Why God should ask us to pray when he knows what we need even before we ask him may perplex us if we do not realize that our Lord and God does not want to know what we want, for as God he cannot fail to already know it. But rather he wants us to exercise our desire through our prayers so that we may be able to receive what he is preparing to give us."
18 minutes past the hour, here's Anna Mitchell with headlines.
A deal has been reached between the Senate and the Trump administration on a $2 trillion coronavirus economic stimulus package. Pope Francis dedicated his mass yesterday for those who have given their lives in service to coronavirus patients, and the Holy Father is inviting all to join him in prayer today at noon on this Feast of the Annunciation.
That's noon Rome time. Of course, We've been praying it at the top of the hour, every hour here on the Sunrise Morning Show. It is the Feast of the Annunciation, Anna Mitchell. We talked about this in one of our local hours yesterday, But May 25th has a lot of significance in salvation history for a number of reasons. So there are old traditions that have March 25th as the day that Abraham tried to sacrifice Isaac, and mm-hmm. Isaac was spared. Some rabbis speculated March 25th was the day of creation.
You know, and that would all make sense with today being the Feast of the Good Thief as well. Incidentally, the Good Thief died on the same day that Jesus died. And today we commemorate the day that Jesus was conceived in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So it would not surprise me that the Lord would, you know, put all of this stuff together.
And the Tolkien tie-in, of course, J.R.R. Tolkien, no stranger to any of this information, decided that to set the date that the One Ring was destroyed and Sauron fell as March 25th in Middle-earth. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, what is the beginning of the end for Satan? It's when the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. So March 25th, big deal in Lord of the Rings. Actually, Anna Mitchell, can I show my nerd cred?
You already did, but okay,
It's 2 years later on March 25th that Sam Gamgee's first daughter is born.
Really?
So Sam's daughter ends up having March 25th as her birthday,
too. Wow. It's a good day. It's a good day to be born.
This is all really just dovetailing off of your go read a book and stop reading the internet recommendation. Today is also official Tolkien reading day. It's 21 past. So you've decided to give up coffee or caffeine for Lent. Why not support the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming and the Sunrise Morning Show when you buy tea or decaf from Mystic Monk Coffee?
When you click the Mystic Monk link at sunrisemorningshow.com, you, of course, help support their work, but you also earn us a commission.
You can also purchase coffee for your Easter basket, as well as Sunrise Morning Show mugs and travel mugs in our online store.
Buy your coffee and tea, cap or decaf, and pick up a mug at sunrisemorningshow.com.
That's sunrisemorningshow.com.
The Baltimore Catechism asks, what are the effects of the sacrament of matrimony? The effects of the sacrament of matrimony are, first, to sanctify the love of husband and wife. Second, to give them grace to bear with each other's weaknesses. Third, to enable them to bring up their children in the fear and love of God. Because the sacrament of matrimony is a sacrament that persists until death, grace is present to it from the very beginning until the very end of their lives. And the grace, primarily, is to help the man and woman get to heaven. I love to look at an engaged couple and to say to them both, you are each other's path to heaven. You see, that's the primary grace that people receive in the sacrament of matrimony. But there's also that grace which helps them to bear with each other's weaknesses. And so let us recognize the great gift of the sacrament of matrimony, so that in appreciating it, we may keep the faith until death. Reflecting on the Baltimore Catechism, I'm Dominican Father Ezra Sullivan.
This is Father Andre Joseph Lacoste, a Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly on to thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
It's 23 minutes past the hour, and you're listening to the Sunrise Morning Show on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Joining us again on the Sunrise Morning Show is Sarah Christmeyer. She's online at comeintotheword.com, and we're going through her book, Becoming Women of the Word, How to Answer God's Call with Purpose and Joy. Sarah, welcome back.
Thank you, Anna. Good morning.
So we're going to be discussing Ruth today. Of course, her story is in the book that is named for her. And she was not a Jew, but is one of the ancestors who is found in the genealogy of Jesus. So first of all, let's talk about how that came to be. Tell us the story of how she ended up in Bethlehem with her mother-in-law.
Yeah, so Ruth's in-laws, Naomi and Elimelech, had fled away from Bethlehem years before during a famine, and their sons, married Moabites, one of whom was Ruth. And after about 10 years, all three men had died, and the women were really left destitute. About this time, Naomi hears that the famine is over in Bethlehem, and she sets out to go back home. And she told the girls that there's really no future for them there but to go back to their parents' homes where they might have chance for a new life. But Ruth declined, and it actually, she said those famous words that you hear in weddings, you know, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. You know, I'm going to be with you for life. Your God will be my God. She sang. She didn't sing. She said.
Well, that's something that I'm sure many women don't realize. They're taking on their mother-in-laws when they say that to their husbands. It works, right? I mean, it fits. So how did her love for Naomi then also translate into love for Naomi's God?
I think that's so interesting because all we see in Naomi is bitterness, you know, that God has kind of dealt her a set of bad cards. First famine and exile, she loses her husband, now her sons, she has no grandchildren to carry on their name, no provider. But even with all of that, I think the fact that Naomi still clung to God as God, maybe she even praised him, I don't know, it must have rubbed off on Ruth somehow. And we learn later that Ruth sought refuge under the wings of Yahweh. She chose him over the gods of her own people. So I think that must have come from Naomi and from the love that she had from Naomi and her example.
And so how did Ruth serve Naomi, and how did that eventually lead to a new husband for Ruth, earning her a spot in the genealogy of Jesus?
Yeah, great story. When they got to Bethlehem, Ruth took it on herself to find food. And so she gets up early in the morning, works till late at night, gathering grain behind the reapers in a field nearby. And she is so diligent and humble, and the way she put Naomi's needs first really caught the eye of the wealthy landowner, whose name is Boaz. And Boaz happened to be a close relative of Naomi's husband. And I hope people will read this. It's a really lovely story about how Ruth asks Boaz to accept the role of what they called a kinsman redeemer, and to redeem not only their land, but also to marry her so that she could bear sons to carry on Elimelech's family line. And Boaz does, marries her, and their line eventually leads to King David and then to Christ.
And when you say that you hope people will read it, it's not like you're asking them to pull out the book of Leviticus and trudge through. This is not a very long book in the Bible, is it?
No, four chapters. It'll take you 10 minutes. Read it.
Four chapters, the book of Ruth. But so interesting, too, that she's just one of three women who has a book of the Bible named for her. And something that I learned in reading your chapter on Ruth and her story is the connection between her and the famous so-called Proverbs 31 woman. Tell us about that connection.
Yeah, so if you don't know, the Proverbs 31 woman is, the chapter starts out, a good wife who can find, she's more precious than pearls. It's a really beautiful treatise on the ideal woman, and it ends the book of Proverbs. And two connections to Ruth. In the Hebrew Bible, Ruth is the very next book. So it's the next thing you read right after you read that. And she really embodies the traits that are described there. Second thing, in English, we read a good wife who can find. In Hebrew, it's translated a woman of valor or a woman of worth. And that phrase is what Boaz calls Ruth. He says the whole town knows she's a woman of worth. And it's the only other place in the Bible where that phrase is used. So it's describe her.
Wow. I mean, I just thought that that was so beautiful that she would really embody the Proverbs 30, like, well, here, if you want a real example of how to do it, then go read Ruth.
Exactly.
So what do you think we can take away from the story of Ruth, Sarah?
Well, starting right at the point you just made, you know, think about the way that Ruth became a woman of worth, more precious than pearls. My mind goes to the pearls, and one of the ways that pearls have value is the way that they're made, and a little irritant gets into the oyster or whatever they're made in, and it wraps layer after layer of a smooth, beautiful, lustrous coating called nacre over that irritant, and that's what makes the pearl. And I think about Ruth's love in action and how it transformed a really gritty, desperate situation into something beautiful and of value. We can do that in our lives by wrapping love around difficulty. And the second thing, in today's gospel, we hear from Luke chapter 6 that if we give, that gifts will be given, a good measure packed down and overflowing will be poured into your lap. And there's this fundamental principle that when we give, that God rewards us. And we see that in Ruth, how she gave in love out of her emptiness. She put herself, you know, for refuge under the wings of God, and she was filled. And so I think, like Ruth, if we lay down our lives and love other people, that God will provide. He will reward us.
Such a beautiful and hopeful story, the story of Ruth. You can read about it more, and I really encourage you to do so. There's so much more that we could talk about but have run out of time. It's Becoming Women of the Word, How to Answer God's Call with Purpose and Joy, and you can find it linked in our show notes for today at sonrisemorningshow.com. Sarah Christmeyer, as always, thank you so much.
God bless you, Anna.
You too. Thank you very much. All right, we're coming up on half past the hour now. It's time for news. A deal's been reached between the Senate and the Trump administration on a $2 trillion coronavirus economic stimulus package. The White House announced the deal at about 1 a.m. Washington time. The agreement comes after 5 days of negotiations and will provide relief for businesses, laid-off workers, and families. It's estimated that more than half the people in the U.S. are under some form of shelter-in-place and non-essential business closure orders from state and local governments. President Trump is hoping that the nation can reopen by Easter, but a member of his coronavirus task force is being more cautious. Mark Mayfield reports.
That's really very flexible. We just had a conversation with the president in the Oval Office talking about, you know, you can look at a date, but you got to be very flexible and on a literally day by day and week by week basis.
Dr. Anthony Fauci added they still need to look at data that they've never had before. Trump said in a White House briefing his administration is working very hard to fight the coronavirus so that the nation can get back to normal as soon as possible. Trump added his first priority is the health and safety of Americans. Mark Mayfield, NBC News Radio.
Ford Motor Company is set to partner with GE and 3M on making face shields, ventilators, and air purifying respirators to fight the coronavirus. Executive Chairman Bill Ford Jr. says engineers have found a seat cooling blower used in the Ford F-150 truck that can be used in a filtration system. Ford and 3M have a goal of churning out as many as 10 times more respirators than are currently being manufactured to meet the need of the healthcare industry. The automaker is looking into changing over an assembly plant for the medical device production and has the full cooperation of the United Auto Workers Union to do so. The wife of the former president and COO of EWTN News has asked for urgent prayers for her husband. News came yesterday that Dan Burke is on a respirator in ICU fighting for his life after being diagnosed with coronavirus. In an email sent to the Avila Institute subscribers, Stephanie Burke asked specifically for what Mother Teresa called the flying memorare, 9 memorares prayed in a row for his healing. She said, quote, please pray very specifically that Dan's lungs will clear and begin to breathe on their own. Pray that God will be glorified through a full recovery and the complete restoration of his health, end quote. Pope Francis dedicated his Mass yesterday for those who have given their lives in service to coronavirus patients. Vatican News reports the Holy Father expressed his admiration for them, saying, I thank God for the example of heroism they give us in caring for the sick. He mentioned priests and doctors and said he didn't know if there were a few nurses as well. In his homily at yesterday's Mass, the Holy Father contrasted apathy and rebirth in the waters of baptism. From Vatican Radio, Devin Watkins reports.
Pope Francis began his homily saying that the day's readings present water as a sign and means of salvation. In the Gospel, Jesus encounters a paralyzed man beside a pool of water. The paralytic had been waiting for 38 years beside the water to be healed. Pope Francis said he is an example of someone who waits and waits without doing anything to help himself.
Fa pensare questo, no? È un po' troppo, no? Uno che vuole essere guarito si arrangia.
It makes us think, he said. That's a long time, isn't it? Someone who really wants to be healed would have organized things so that someone would help him. The paralytic's response to Jesus' question of whether he wants to be well is also strange. He doesn't say yes, but rather complains. He doesn't even thank Jesus when he is healed, but goes off to inform the authorities.
Ma era malato del cuore. Era malato dell'anima.
His heart was sick, the Pope said. He was ailing from pessimism, from sadness, from apathy. Pope Francis said apathy is a poisonous fog that surrounds the soul and doesn't allow it to live. It is even addictive, like a drug, dulling the mind. The solution that the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John offers us for the sickness of apathy is water.
Pensiamo all'acqua, quell'acqua che è simbolo della nostra forza.
Let's think of water, said Pope Francis. Water is the symbol of our strength, of our life. Jesus, he said, used water to regenerate us in baptism. I'm Devin Watkins.
Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves says if the state's only abortion clinic is violating a health department order that prohibits elective medical procedures during the coronavirus outbreak, he's willing to take action to stop it. The group Pro-Life Mississippi has filed complaints saying abortions are being performed this week at the Jackson Clinic. Texas and Ohio also have directives in place banning elective surgeries to preserve much-needed medical supplies. That's the news. It's 35 past the hour. The Sunrise.
If you're heading online to purchase any Lenten books or spiritual resources, especially ones you hear about on the Sunrise Morning Show, don't forget us when you shop at Amazon.
Before you start browsing, go first to sunrisemorningshow.com and click our Amazon link to earn us a commission on anything you buy.
And if it's something you heard about on the Sunrise Morning Show, you can link directly to it through our daily show notes.
It won't technically count as almsgiving since you don't spend anything extra, but it will help support the show.
Just go to sunrisemorningshow.com, click Amazon.
I'm Father Timothy Shear, and these are Biblical Impressions. Did you know they found a treasure in Capernaum? That's the small town in Galilee on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's the place where Jesus taught in the synagogue, where he healed a man brought through the roof. He healed a centurion's servant. It was the scene of the miracle of the coin in the mouth of a fish. And it's the scene where Jesus discussed greatness with his apostles. In the early 1980s, archaeologists came upon 282 gold coins. The coins were not from the time of our Lord. They were much later, from the 7th century. But we might reflect for a moment that those gold coins could not match the far grander treasure that we know from Capernaum. And that's the faith of the centurion. We echo that centurion's faith at every Mass that we celebrate. Just before we receive the body and blood of the Lord, we all pray and echo his words, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. I think you would agree that that's the real treasure from Capernaum, and it's far more valuable than a heap of gold coins. For Sacred Heart Radio, I'm Father Timothy Shear.
Happy Feast of the Annunciation. It is the 25th of March, a Wednesday, a solemnity. I've had a root beer sitting in my fridge for a while that I am saving for just an occasion as this. Gary Zimak now joining us from followingthetruth.com, and we've been giving up worry for Lent. Gary, good morning.
Hey, Matt, good morning.
So each week we've been taking a verse from the scriptures that we can reflect upon as we're trying to give up worry and anxiety for Lent. Who knew how pertinent this series would be when we planned it a couple months ago? But what verse are we looking at today?
Matt, and by the way, you are absolutely correct. I had no idea, as did most people, have no idea what we would be up against. But I'm glad we're able to have this discussion. The verse today is one that reminds us that at a time when we realize how little control we have in life, it reminds us of something over which we do have control. It's Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Matt, the reason I like this verse is because it reminds us of a fact that we often get wrong. Sometimes we feel that we're unable to trust Jesus because we're scared, because we're afraid, because we don't think we have it in us. This verse reminds us that trust is not so much a feeling as a conscious decision. We do this all the time. We trust people, even though we're a little nervous, and we say, okay, I trust you. Seems crazy, but I trust you. If we make that decision to trust Jesus, that conscious decision that in the midst of turmoil and chaos, as we see in our world right now, We say, Jesus, I trust in you. Doing that action and keeping our focus on him, our thoughts on him, that is how we're going to feel the peace. It doesn't seem like it'll work, but we do have control of our thoughts. We do have control of our decision-making abilities, and we can make that decision to trust in the Lord. And if we do that, we're going to gradually feel his peace.
Well, I imagine there's some people who are a little more open to this now than they might have been a few weeks ago, this idea of keeping our mind on the Lord instead of on all the things going on around us. Because at a certain point, you stare at the news for 3, 4, 5 hours. Are you really learning anything at that point? Are you really getting the information that you need to do what you have to do at that point? You can get all of that in, you know, a few minutes or maybe 1 hour if you want to really dig in. But if you let that consume you and consume your thoughts, then of course your peace is going to be gone.
Matt, that's a great point, and that's, I believe that so firmly. You have to be informed. I agree. You need to periodically know what the heck is going on. But what we tend to do sometimes, and I see how this can have such negative effects in our lives, is that we watch the news and we seek these the information on the internet about what's going on, especially with the coronavirus right now. We want somebody to tell us when it'll be over and that it's going to be okay and why we individually won't get it or we'll be able to survive. And invariably, the longer we watch, we're going to hear something that's going to freak us out even more or make us realize that, oh my gosh, that I don't know what's going to happen. This is going to be worse than I thought. But we got to remember that all of these people who are speculating, a lot of them are disagreeing with one another. So I've heard numerous amounts of conflicting information. What we got to know is the important thing to remember is Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, the life. We know he does not change. We know that he is good for his word. We know that if he says he will be with us until the end of time, he will be with us to the end of time. And we know that he promised if we come to him, he's going to give us rest. He's going to give us that supernatural peace. Those facts don't change. So keeping our eyes on him instead of on the very changing world, changing by the minute world, is the way to experience peace. And honestly, it's the way to have a really good Lent, because that's the whole goal of Lent, to grow closer to our Lord and to purify these things, these imperfections and sinful tendencies in ourselves.
And a lot of what we're reading is not, as you say, information. It's speculation. There's just stuff that there's no textbook and manual for this kind of thing yet. Even though it's 2020 and we're such a super advanced society and civilization, and there's a lot of stuff we just don't know, and a lot of people are guessing, and we're just trying to, you know, figure out how this works. But in the meantime, you know, a verse like this, Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you, can be such a solace. And Gary, as I was reading this verse this morning before the show and thinking about it, it reminded me of a quote from St. Francis de Sales, who says, "Do not lose your inner peace for anything whatsoever, even if your whole world seems upset." And if ever there were a time when the whole world seemed upset, I think we're in it.
Yeah, and Matt, that's the thing we need to remember. The peace that the Lord provides, or the peace we read about in Scripture, is not dependent on the absence of conflict or problems in our lives. This peace can occur even in the midst of tremendous suffering, and that's the key for us to remember, that even though the world is a mess, what's going on outside really doesn't matter. The peace comes from the Lord, and yeah, we have to do some work here. You know, he'll give us the peace, but we need to do the work. We need to control what we can control, and that's the making the conscious decision to turn to him and spend some time with him, to spend some time with him in prayer every day and reading Scripture and some good spiritual reading, whatever that may be. If we do that, we're going to have this encounter with him. And I raised the point in Give Up Worry for Lent today in the meditation, that if we picture this encounter with Jesus, if we picture ourselves just running into his arms and letting him hold us and comfort us in the midst of all our trials, that's not just wishful thinking or thinking happy thoughts. That's literally having an encounter with Jesus, who is spiritually present to us right now. He's real. So if we start doing that, not only are we going to grow closer to him, which again is the point of life and literally what we're trying to focus on during Lent, but it's going to bring us that peace that we're looking for. I recommend anybody listening, just give it a try. Spend some time with the Lord and tell him you trust him today. It doesn't matter how you feel. Say, Jesus, I've made the decision to trust in you.
And one very simple and practical way to do this is that I know a lot of people who are used to commuting and going to school don't usually have the opportunity to participate in daily mass. But guess what? A lot of people aren't driving to work or school anymore. A lot of people are in their own home. And how easy is it to flip on EWTN where they've got mass a couple times a day? And to be able to do that, or maybe even your own parish has a stream, and certainly your Catholic radio station, almost wherever you're listening. I don't know of a Catholic radio station that doesn't broadcast Mass at least once a day. So that's just another opportunity to refocus ourselves and take a pause and remember what's truly important, even though all kinds of things that are also important are going around. Unless we have that anchor, that center, that North Star, we're not going to know how to handle the other things. So, Gary, if our listeners want to connect with you and maybe even connect with your Facebook group and get into the big discussion about giving up worry for Lent, where do they go?
Matt, the best place is to go right to my website, followingthetruth.com.
Linked at sunrisemorningshow.com. Stay safe and healthy, my friend.
All right, you too, buddy. God bless you.
Up next, Steve Ray discusses the good thief Dismas on his feast day.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. But great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they can help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 844-51-BIBLE. That's 844-51-BIBLE. 844-51-BIBLE.
Have you considered energizing your business marketing plan? The Sunrise Morning Show is heard across the U.S. on more than 360 Catholic radio stations, reaching millions of engaged listeners in the heart of the morning commute. You can speak directly to a loyal group of like-minded people who prefer to use businesses who share their faith and values. Find out more about underwriting the Sunrise Morning Show by emailing me, Leah, at sacredheartradio.com. That's Leah at sacredheartradio.com.
If you're currently an EWTN media missionary or just interested in becoming one, we've got some great news. EWTN Media Missionaries has a new and improved website. EWTNmissionaries.com, designed with you in mind. Our new site is loaded with great features and it's easy to navigate. There are so many different ways that you can help EWTN. Join us in sharing the eternal word with the world. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today.
13 minutes before the hour on this Feast of the Annunciation, Wednesday, March 25th. Here's Anna Mitchell with headlines.
A deal has been reached between the Senate and the Trump administration on a $2 trillion coronavirus economic stimulus package. Pope Francis will lead all Christians in an Our Father today at noon Roman time, 7 a.m. Eastern, to beseech the Lord in these days of suffering. And the wife of the former president and COO of EWTN News has asked for urgent prayers for her husband, Dan Burke, who's on a respirator in ICU fighting for his life today after being diagnosed with coronavirus.
Dan, we are praying for you.
We know all the
great things you've done for this particular show and for all of our listeners who have appreciated the great resources, especially on spiritual direction, that have been such a wonderful thing for us.
I was on a live rosary with the Avila Institute last night for Dan, and his wife Stephanie got on and said, "I don't believe that the Lord is done with Dan yet. I don't believe that his mission is over." And I thought those were very powerful words from her. So pray for Dan.
All right. Praying for you. And again, we're going to pray at the top of every hour here on the Sunrise Morning Show, including our local hours coming up, opening with the Our Father in solidarity with the Holy Father and all Christians of goodwill around the world. Please join us every hour today even if you're not listening to the radio, let's pray the Our Father and pray for God's peace and healing for our nation and our world and our friends. Steve Ray now joining us from CatholicConvert.com, and we've been doing a lot of great segments on the Stations of the Cross, and today we're going to take a little break to focus on an episode that happens while Jesus is on the cross. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Matt. I've been with you every day, and it's been a great week so far. I love it.
It's such a fascinating thing to look at all the different elements that are part of the Passion of our Lord. And the encounter with the good thief on the cross, it's not one of the 14 stations of the cross, but it does connect with one of the seven last words of Christ, because Jesus only says seven things from the cross, and one of them he says to this guy who's dying with him.
In fact, these are his last words on earth to any human being. The last time he spoke to anyone, he spoke to a criminal, a thief, one who was being executed with him for crimes that he even admitted he did. Yes, that's the last words Jesus spoke on the earth to any human being, was to that thief.
So what did St. Dismas do to deserve this?
Well, you know, the interesting what did he do to deserve the crime? Well, first of all, he was a criminal and admits it, but what did he do to get the mercy of God? You know, the interesting thing is, I, as a Baptist, a former Baptist, I should say, I would have said, if I was Jesus on the cross and the thief said to me, remember me in paradise, or remember me when you come into your kingdom, I would have said, well, right now while we're here, why don't you say the sinner's prayer and accept me as your personal Lord and Savior and ask me to come into your heart, and then you'll be saved and you'll be sure to go to heaven with me today. But Jesus didn't say that. That's what I would have said. And you know, when I look back at it now, I ask myself, why didn't I realize that? What that this sinner, this man on the cross, the thief, did not say what I would have, what I said you had to say to be saved. So, but what did he do to deserve it? You know, he starts out condemning and reviling Jesus just like the other one did. In Matthew, it says that when they came out and carrying their cross, he was reviling Jesus just like the other thief was. But I think that something happened while he was hanging there that changed all that.
Yeah, I have to wonder at what point in the course of this things dawned on St. Dismas that he was not being executed next to a common criminal.
I like the way Jerome says it, St. Jerome, Doctor of the Church. Or it may be said that the first they both reviled him, but when the sun was withdrawn, and the earth was shaken, and the rocks were rent and cracked, and the darkness increased, one believed on Jesus and repaired his former denial by a subsequent confession. That's the way a doctor of the church, St. Jerome, says it, that they were both reviling Jesus. You can say you're the king of the Jews and you can save everybody. Save us and save yourself. And they were reviling him all the way and while they were hanging on the cross. But when the sun went under the clouds and when the earth shook, just like the centurion all of a sudden said, oh my goodness, this is the Son of God, the good thief also named Dismas, but that we'll talk about that later, he realizes this isn't your average man. This is not your average criminal hung with us. This guy is somebody special. He's acting different than other criminals do. The earth is responding to his death. God is angry because he's being crucified. I don't know what his thought process was, but all of a sudden he realized, I better repent of my sins. I better realize who this is next to me. And he says, when you come into your kingdom. This is amazing, Matt, because when you see somebody hanging on a cross, and he's dying, and blood is pouring out of him, and he's lost control of his bowels and everything else. He's naked on the cross, and he's ready to die any minute. You don't think of that person as coming into his kingdom. You think of him as going into the grave and rotting like everybody else. But this thief must have had, because of his change of heart and looked and saw something and repented, he must have seen some revelation, a last-minute revelation of God. You know, Father Chris Alar from the Marians has a book about suicide and talks a lot about last moment, when God comes to people at the last moment and gives them the opportunity to repent. And it gives great hope for those who have families who have suicide victims. It's a great book to read, by the way. Well, here's an example of something very similar to that, a man who's hanging on a cross, ready to die, with two other criminals supposedly on the cross, ready to die, and he realizes something special about that one person, and it must have been a revelation from God, because there was certainly nothing in the view of that man hanging on the cross that made him think he was going to have a kingdom anytime soon.
Well, on top of that, as recently as lunchtime that day, there was no indication to anybody that this guy was sorry. Right. So you just never know when it comes to these, you know, friends and family of ours, our loved ones who, you know, you just don't know where they are spiritually. You never know how God might be working on them. I want to go back to something you said earlier. You know, as a good Baptist, you just said, well, the good thief didn't accept Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior and invite him into his heart. You know, he didn't do the sinner's prayer right there on the cross. But you know what else he didn't do? He didn't get baptized. And the Catholic Church says that baptism is necessary for salvation. I think we'd all affirm that. It's right there in the catechism. So I've heard people, you know, kind of get in arguments with me and say, well, you Catholics say that baptism is necessary for salvation. Well, good thief didn't get baptized.
Exactly. And we do know that baptism is the normal means for salvation, not baptism by itself, because if you don't have faith and it's just you just get splashed, all that happens is you get wet. But if you have faith, it's a sacrament of faith that you believe in Jesus Christ and you're baptized. And we know from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, a verse I never realized was in there when I was a Baptist, Matt, it says, baptism now saves you. That's one of the ways we understand that as Catholics. And we know the Catechism says that baptism is necessary for salvation. But it also says, paragraph 1258, and people should remember this because you're going to have somebody ask you someday in your life, well, the good thief wasn't baptized, so well, you know, you guys are wrong. Well, the Church has always held the firm conviction that those who suffer death for the sake of the faith without having received baptism are baptized by their death. And for Christ, the baptism of blood, that's called martyrdom, one of the two things, baptism of death, when you are wanting to live for Christ and you die because you're living for him and professing him, and it's called the baptism of blood, that's martyrdom. And it's also the one called the baptism of desire, which brings about the fruits of baptism without having it. In other words, if you are the thief on the cross and you are saying, I want to be in your kingdom, and you would have been baptized if you could get off the cross and go find some water and a priest to baptize you, if you would do that, it's called the baptism of desire. So there's the baptism of blood and the baptism of desire. The Church has always taught that from the first century. And then another paragraph to remember, important, 1258. God has bound salvation to the sacrament of baptism. In other words, he said that's how you get saved, through baptism. But he himself is not bound by the sacraments. In other words, that's the way he's made it, but he can overrule that and say you're saved without it.
He's God. Finally, Steve, with just a couple seconds left, how do we know he was a good thief?
Well, because he stole heaven at the last minute.
Exactly. Well, thanks so much. We got CatholicConvert.com linked at SunriseMorningShow.com. Thanks for being with us on the Sunrise Morning Show. I'm Matt Swain. May God bless you and keep you and grant you his peace.